Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are two men clearly associated with Christmas. Two men who completely dominate this season. And those two men, of course, are Santa and Jesus. Santa Claus and Jesus Christ, the two biggest men this time of the year. In some ways, these two men are similar. They are often portrayed as having long hair and beards. Both seem to be particularly fond of children. Both are often portrayed wearing robes. But in most ways, these two men are quite different. One is old, one is young. One is fat, one is skinny. One wears boots, one wears sandals. They both reign this time of the year. They both reign over Christmas, but in very different ways. Almost as if two different kinds of Christmas. Santa gives to good people because they deserve it. Jesus gives to bad people because they need it. Santa focuses on the goodness of man. Jesus focuses on the goodness of God. Santa's Christmas is all about what we do for others. And Jesus' Christmas is all about what God does for us. Santa's Christmas is celebrated by those who think that they are nice. Kinda, sorta, relatively speaking, anyway, and thus deserve a reward. Jesus' Christmas is celebrated by those who realize that they're not really so nice and are hoping for grace and mercy. Two very different men reigning over two very different Christmases. Not mutually exclusive, but different. Our text for today focuses celebrates that Jesus Christmas. Our text is from our epistle reading is from Titus chapter 3 and our
church, I suppose.
When the grace and love of God appeared, God saved us. Not because of nice things we have done, but because of his mercy. Certain text. Now, a few things I have to get out of the way. First of all, I readily admit, I do not deny, I readily confess that the Santa Christmas is much more popular. The Santa Christmas is celebrated even by a lot of people who aren't Christians. I mean, in India, the Hindus love to celebrate Santa. They're quite fond of Santa. Atheists, agnostics celebrate the Santa Christmas. And even a lot of Christians, this is a very important part. The Santa Christmas is more popular. And I should go on record, too, as saying I have absolutely nothing against Santa. In fact, I have been a pretty big fan of Santa's for nearly 70 years. I think Santa is great. And, yes, it's nice to be nice. It's good to be good. God is in favor of nice. God calls us to be good. In fact, in a lot of ways, God is much more focused on this than Santa is. Because God wants us to be perfect. God calls us to be holy. God calls us to be righteous in all of our ways. God is even more in favor of this than Santa. There's nothing wrong with being nice. Nothing wrong with being good. Nice is nice. Good is good. But here's the problem. Here's the deal. We're not all that good at being good. We're just not all that good at being good. Roy Rogers used to tell about a bunch of people celebrating Christmas Eve in a bar. After a goodly number of high-octane adult beverages, they suddenly got the Christmas spirit. And they took up a collection and gave the money to the bartender with instructions that he was to buy toys and to give them to good little boys and girls. Now, Roy Rogers makes the point that they probably spent a lot more money on booze than toys, but nonetheless, it was a nice gesture. It was a nice thing to do. And they went home at 2 a.m. on Christmas Day to sleep it off, thinking they had kept Christmas. We're not particularly good at being good. It's nice to be nice, and it's just hard to keep it up for long. Maybe that's why Santa is so short-lived. I mean, Jesus, we celebrate Jesus 365 days out of the year. We lift up Jesus all throughout the year. But Santa, no, he has a relatively short time span, a relatively narrow envelope, a few weeks. You know, I figure 8 weeks max. 8 weeks. That's as long as we can do it. I mean, for 8 weeks, we can spruce up our homes and our lives. For a period of time, we can visit friends and neighbors and put a smile on our face and buy presents for neighbors and friends and coworkers and even people we don't really like. For a period of time, we can be nice. Kinda. Sort of, relatively speaking, for a while. But it gets old. It gets hard. And so we figure, you know, Santa's got to go back to the North Pole so that we can get back to our normal lives. This nice stuff, we're not particularly good at it. It wears off pretty quick. If we could be completely nice, if we could do it all the time and forever, that'd be great. But we can't. Or at least we don't. And we know it. And so does God. But our text for today presents us with a very different Christmas, centering around a very different man. Listen to the words again. When the grace and love of God appeared, God saved us. Not because of nice things we had done, but rather because of his mercy. Jesus comes to people who are naughty and not so nice. Jesus comes to people who need him, not necessarily deserve him. Christmas is about God's heart, God's love, God's doing. This is the Christmas not about coal or apples that may be in our stocking. It's about the Savior lying in the manger for you and for me. Jesus said, "It's not the well who need a physician, but rather the sick." Story told about a family getting their Christmas tree. But this family did not go to the corner lot. No, they had this tradition, a rather cherished Christmas tradition, that they would make this pilgrimage out to a tree farm, pile up the kids and the dog in the station wagon, and travel quite some distance out into the country to this Christmas tree farm. They did that again this year. They no more than pulled into the parking lot when their next door neighbors pulled in right next to them. They'd never seen them at the tree farm before, but it turns out both of them had exactly the same Christmas tradition. Two families talked, and the one said to the other, "You know, we do this every year. It's quite an exciting thing. It takes a lot of effort to find the perfect Christmas tree." He explained their process was quite detailed. They would look all around the farm among all the trees, and they especially liked to go areas where most people didn't go. And they would look for just the right tree. Not too tall, but not too short. Not too wide, but not too skinny. Full, but not too full. They'd look for that perfect tree, and then they'd put a kid in front of it. You know, claim this tree. Don't let anybody else take this one. You know, this may be it. But then they would keep going. Because you never know, there might be a better one. And they would look around and they would find perhaps an even better tree. And they would move the kid from there to there. Or maybe put a second kid there. And they would continue this process all afternoon until they had seen all the trees and had found the perfect one. Or maybe the most perfect. The other neighbor said, "Oh, that sounds great, but it's very different for us. We come looking for a tree that needs us. We come looking for a tree that we can make beautiful with our ornaments. God does not come to our world looking for perfect people, or the most perfect you can find. He comes looking for people who need him. People that he can make beautiful with his ornaments. His ornament of love. His ornament of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness. Jesus said, it is not the well who needs a physician, but rather the sick." But this Jesus Christmas, it's not just about celebrating Jesus. It's also about receiving Jesus. The Bible says, "For to us a son is born, for us a son is given." Believing that Jesus was born, celebrating that Jesus came is not enough. We must not only welcome him, but receive him. As he comes, not in a chimney, but in a manger. In the words of an old English Christmas carol, "Though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, if he is not born in thee, then thy soul is forlorn." It was Christmas 1961 in Palm Springs, California, at the Children's Hospital. None other than Frank Sinatra made a gift to the Children's Hospital, well, to the children of the Children's Hospital. It was not a check. It was a Santa. A 75-pound solid chocolate Santa. Now, folks, you just can't go to the store and buy one of those, so Frank Sinatra had it specially made by a chocolatier in Beverly Hills, the very finest chocolate possible, and he wanted it to be 75 pounds because he wanted to be sure that all the children of the Children's Hospital would have all the chocolate they could eat. Frank Sinatra personally presented it to the hospital, and it was done with considerable fanfare. Lots of dignitaries, lots of celebrities were there, the press was there, the local television station broadcast the whole thing live. And the Santa was placed on this special pedestal right in the middle of the lobby of the children's hospital, and there it stood. All that luscious aroma just lofting through the corridors of the children's hospital. You can imagine how the children thought about that Santa, how they dreamed about that Santa, how they longed to consume that Santa. But they would have to wait. The development officer thought that Santa there in the lobby was really good for fundraising. And the head nutritionist said that that chocolate really wasn't good for the kids. And so the chocolate Santa just stood there, worshipped, adored, venerated, but not consumed. It was there all Christmas season. It was there well after Christmas. It was there on January the 6th when 6-year-old Tommy was discharged from the hospital. He was just about to get into the family car when little Tommy confessed to the whole thing. He said that it was late one night and he peeked out of his room and he could see that the corridors were dark and the staff was all busy. And so very carefully, very stealthily, he worked his way down the hospital corridor. He worked his way all the way down to the lobby of the hospital. Unfortunately, there was a security guard seated there, so little Tom just waited him out. And eventually, the security guard left, and Tommy seized the moment. Tommy walked over to the chocolate Santa, opened his mouth wide, and took a great big chomp right out of the middle of Santa's tummy. Suddenly they had an explanation for that mysterious thing about that chocolate Santa, that chunk missing from his tummy with those teeth marks all the way around. Yes, it was Tommy. And all I can say is, good for him. You know, sometimes that happens with Jesus. Sometimes Jesus is put on a pedestal this time of year, worshipped, adored, venerated, but never received. Christmas requires more than simply celebrating one born in Bethlehem long ago. It also requires that we receive him, that he be born in our hearts today. Though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, if he is not born in thee, then thy soul is forlorn. Santa is great for good little boys and girls, but for the rest of us, there's Jesus. There's God's gift of grace and mercy and love. There is the literal incarnation of love. Our Savior, our Redeemer, our Rescuer. Christmas is not something that springs from our hearts. It's something that springs from God's heart. Christmas is receiving the Savior born at Bethlehem that first Christmas and born in us this Christmas. To all of you, a blessed Jesus, Christmas. Amen.